Welcome to a new episode of the Spiel on Hamilton. I'm your host, Wendy Schneider. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Aaron Heller, an Israel-based journalist, writer, and broadcaster, and the author of Zadie's Band, the untold stories of a Jewish band of brothers in World War II. On Wednesday evening, November 19th, make sure to mark that date, Aaron will be sharing some incredible stories he uncovered about the Jewish men and women who fought for the Allies. Among them, war-weary veterans who later went on to fight for Israel's independence. The evening will also shine a light on two remarkable Hamilton stories, that of David Goldberg, a heroic Spitfire pilot who flew an astonishing 235 missions before coming home to build a distinguished law career, and Alex Balinson, an airman who enlisted against his parents' wishes and whose untimely death in Malta was mourned on the front page of Hamilton's one-time Yiddish newspaper, edited by his own father. And now, I'd like to welcome Aaron Heller. Aaron, hi, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Aaron, can you tell us about your book, Zadie's Band, and what motivated you to write it?
Well, the book is a lot of things. It started out really as just sort of a personal odyssey, as just a curiosity, trying to find out what happened to my grandfather in World War II. And as any kid saw, his grandfather had a picture on the wall of him in uniform. And I was always curious. I've always had that in me. And ever since I was a little kid, I remember always asking him. And it was always this taboo issue. He would not talk about it. It was sort of like the secret that sort of floated around there. And that's sort of how it remained for many, many years until, you know, I became a journalist later on in life and developed a bit of a beat, if you can call it that, of World War II and Holocaust survivors, and wrote stories about dozens of other veterans and survivors. And at some point, I realized I know so much about these people and I produce so many really great stories about them. And I know absolutely nothing about my grandfather. And I decided, it was back in 2011, 15 years ago, I decided I'm going to go on this journey and going to try to produce something similar that hopefully will make him proud.
So did he eventually talk to you about his experiences?
It took a long time. I mean, he was hesitant to begin with and he remained so throughout the process. But slowly, slowly, we sort of went through this emotional journey together, me discovering about him and him discovering what he wants to talk about. And the side effect of that was that even though he at the beginning didn't tell much about himself, he sort of gave me all these little breadcrumbs. He sort of gave me all these stories about his friends, for example. And that led to me researching the friends of his from World War II and their stories. And that led me to explore the larger issue of Canadians in World War II and their overlooked contribution. And eventually that evolved into the overall Jewish service in World War II, which is also really not very well known. Everybody knows about the Holocaust, but not a lot of people know about the 1.5 million Jews who fought in World War II. Of those, 250,000 died in battle. And so whenever I say those statistics, people are baffled. They can't believe it. And I realized there was a story here to tell, if not necessarily about my grandfather, then about the bigger picture. And that's what I pursued. And spoiler alert, eventually I did come around and got to tell his story as well. But it came into the context of this larger story.
So how much of your book is devoted to stories about Canadian Jewish war veterans?
Well, the story revolves around basically my grandfather. That's the emotional link between it. That's really what connects everything. It starts out with me telling about him, about his life, about our relationship, and about that void in his life, that 4 years that he was in World War II. And then it goes off to several different storylines. One is the dramatic untold stories of his friends who served after World War II, served in Israel in the 1948 war. And again, that's a common theme here, all the untold stories. Their contribution of the foreign volunteers, and especially Canadians, is really unknown in their critical role in establishing Israel. So that's one angle of it. The next second is about the Canadian experience, his friends, their contribution, the fact that the Canadian war service is often overshadowed by the American and the British. And so this gives due especially to the 17,000 Jews in the Canadian Armed Forces, which represented 10% of the population at the time. So it's a significant contribution. And then the final part is about a museum in Israel that I also discovered and was involved in dedicated to soldiers just like this. And it took a very long time to get that started. And I sort of chronicle also the attempts to finally, belatedly, give these men and women the respect they deserve.
So let's just backtrack a bit. So is your family Canadian?
My family's Canadian. Both my parents are Canadian, born in Toronto, and all my grandparents were there. So my family is Canadian through and through. Even three out of my four grandparents were also born in Canada. Their parents came before from here. I myself was actually born in Boston because my parents moved to the U.S. and then moved to Israel when I was young. So I'm a Canadian-American Israeli. But the family, all the extended family is in Toronto.
Did you find, in addition to your grandfather's reluctance to speak about his Second World War experiences, how common was that among veterans and Jewish veterans in particular?
Very common. Originally, you know, I thought he was this exception. I was like, why don't I have one of those grandfathers who tells his story like the ones you read in books and you see in movies and all the shows? But the more that I got into it, I realized it was very common. And his service, more than it was extraordinary, it was common. And that what made it more fascinating for me, because I felt it was very representative of what your average soldier goes through in wartime. And for that generation, which is later got to be known as the greatest generation, this was typical behavior. They went off, they did what they had to do, they came back, and most of them did not want to dwell on it, did not want to talk about it. They wanted to move on, regardless of what kind of service they had. For some, it was traumatic and they wanted to leave those memories behind. For some, they were just eager to get on with life. They wanted to get married. They wanted to start a business. They wanted to start a family. And so it's strange because through my perspective, I'm always, I love stories and I love, you know, getting the stories of people. But I don't think he really thought about it that much. And only when I really started probing with him, I think did that sort of sheen started to crack a little bit and he started to let light in a little bit.
You mentioned that there were many allied Second World War Jewish veterans who went on to go to Israel. At the time, it was just becoming an independent country in 1948, and joined the Haganah to try to defend this new Jewish state. And you said something about the Canadians. Many of them were Canadians. How do you explain that?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of ways to unpack that. First of all, there were a lot of World War II veterans in general that after the war, those who couldn't move on. That was like my grandfather, to make it clear, did not come to Israel. He really was one of those people who wanted to move on afterwards and put that behind him. But there were a lot of others who couldn't do that. You know, they'd been through something so extreme and they wanted to sort of channel this new skills that they had, either for some sort of sense of adventure, but more often than not, for something they believed in, which was after World War II, and we all know the significance of that for Jewish fighters, it was to be a part of establishing Israel. And their contribution was nothing less than crucial. This wasn't necessarily the Haganah. The Haganah, there was the Palmach, there was the Etzels, there was the Lehi. Those were the paramilitary forces in Israel. But in the 1948 War of Independence, Israel needed more than that. They couldn't just have these guys who could do local things. They needed people who had real wartime experience. And those are primarily Americans and Canadians. We're talking about, you know, the roles of South Africans and British and others. But we're talking about just over 4,000 men and women who had a huge contribution by establishing the Israeli Air Force, their armored brigade. They had experience from World War II, and they're essentially the ones who trained what eventually became the Israeli Army. And no less authority than David Ben-Gurion at the time said, you know, we owe them a debt we can never repay, because we don't know if Israel would have been established without their contribution.
Fascinating. And they were called the Machal, right? That was the...
Machal.
And what does Machal stand for?
Machal is a Hebrew acronym for Mitnadvei Chutz La'aretz, which means volunteers from overseas. And that's exactly what they were. And what's interesting is that in the Air Force, for example, which my grandfather was in the Air Force, and most of the people who I talk about were related to that, their contribution was the most critical. Because Israel had no Air Force. It had no pilots. It had no planes. It had nothing. And these guys basically built it up from scratch and provided that victory over there. And it's amazing that they were so influential that even into the 1950s, the official language of the Israeli Air Force was English. These people did not speak Hebrew.
Wow.
Now, we know what the Israeli Air Force is today. but these are its origins. This is where they began. And a third of those people who came from World War II were not even Jewish. They were volunteers who ideologically want to do it, and many of those were Canadians as well.
And does your book tell the story of these individuals?
It does. One of the people mentioned in the first part of the book was a non-Jewish pilot with a lot of World War II experience. He was the co-pilot of my grandfather's good friend, and they came to Israel. And in many ways, it's sort of like we know what the Jewish motivation was, but for the Christian ones, it was some of them was even more profound because they didn't have a stake in it necessarily, but they still believed it was the right thing to do.
Wow. I can think off the top of my head of a Hamiltonian who made Aliyah, you know, 30 years ago, and I think her father served in Machal, and that was one of the reasons that motivated her own Aliyah. So it's a fascinating story. Was this a Machal museum that you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that you were trying to get started?
Not necessarily. It's more of a museum that's dedicated to the overarching theme of Jews in World War II. So it includes sort of an evaluation, you know, the Western Front, the Soviet Red Army, the fighters in Europe and the camps and the partisans. And Machal's included in that because there is a direct link between that service and between Israel. And it's interesting you mentioned Hamilton too. My book, my grandfather's in Toronto and most of the characters in Toronto. But there was one character in the book from Hamilton who I met in my grandfather's retirement home many years ago. His name was Gerald Rosenberg. And he talked to me about not only his World War II service in the Navy, but about being in Machal. And he was one of those people who came to Israel. And I remember he had all these interesting anecdotes. And he also did not speak Hebrew. But he said the only one word he knew was Esh, which means fire. And that's all he needed to know. So that was, he had a contribution as well.
Fascinating. So why do you think this story has been overlooked for so long?
There are a variety of reasons. In particular, the one about the Machal, about the foreign volunteers, there's two sides to the coin. First of all, there's the Israeli perspective. In Israel, this is not known at all. If you ask people here what Machal is, they will not have any association with it. All I've learned about it, all I heard about it was from people like my grandfather and his generation. And there's a simple reason for that, because when Israel was established, they were focused on building their own heroes, the people who built up the country. It was a Rabin or Sharon or all the other heroes, the scrappy guys who were instrumental over there in that battle. And the foreign volunteers were less seen as these saviors and more as potential immigrants, because a lot of them eventually did move to Israel. And they became Israeli, and therefore they were in the melting pot, and they were not necessarily considered foreigners anymore. This includes the first commander of the Israeli Navy, an American man named Paul Shulman, who eventually turned his name into a Hebrew name. So it wasn't like these were known as an entity. And then on the other side, in the U.S. and Canada, the people coming back had their own reasons to stay private about this, and the main one was because they did not want to face repercussions from their own governments, which at the time, what they were doing was not allowed. It was illegal. They were fighting for a foreign army, and they could theoretically at least lose their citizenship. So those are two of the main reasons. And the rest is basically just, you know, history moves on. And as you know, here in the Middle East, even in this present day, the news cycle's very quick. And once the war was won, these people were forgotten.
Right. You've written a piece for the Hamilton Jewish News, and In one of your opening paragraphs, you say something, when people think about the Jewish experience of the Second World War, they think Holocaust. So why do you think in general the whole question of Jewish servicemen and women serving and fighting for the Allies in the Second World War, why do you think that story's been overlooked?
Well, first of all, I think that the Holocaust is the primary story of the Jewish experience in World War II, and I think it should be. It's obvious there's no need to expand on that. I've spent a lot of my career documenting it, and it is the leading narrative, because 6 million Jews being killed in that manner, in that way, is going to be the prevailing narrative. It just has to be. So I'm by no way advocating for it to be replaced. The only thing I'll say is that there is another side that is less known because of that, because of the prevalence of that. And there's a lot of historical evolution to this, too. In Israel, there was more focus on the local heroes, on the partisans, let's say, on maybe the paratroopers like Hanna Senesh and the others. But after the Eichmann trial in 1961, it became very Holocaust-focused. And that was sort of like this emphasis on that story and making sure that we never forget. The byproduct of that, though, is that there was an exaggerated focus on the victimhood. And that is obviously to no way diminish it. But the story of the fighting and the resistance was kind of lost in the mix. And so in Israel, you have Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial, which is a wonderful museum. I've been there many times. And so that tells that story. The museum I'm referring to in Latrun in Israel is supposed to give a kind of counterbalance a little bit and to tell the other one, which is that alongside the genocide and the atrocities and everything that happened to Jewish people, there were 1.5 million Jews from across the world. And they fought on every battlefront and in every place. And anytime there was a battle in the World War II, no matter where you say, the Pacific or in Europe or in Africa, there were Jews there, every single place. And so I think it's important to remember that, especially in these times.
What are the lessons, do you feel, that we living today in the Jewish reality of today can learn from this period of history?
Well, it's interesting because my lessons changed, I think, over the last 2 years after the October 7th attacks in Israel. Before then, I just thought this was a wonderful honor and a way to really celebrate these people and to sort of solidify their legacy and to be able to talk about Jewish warriors, especially in the sense that, you know, the stereotypes, Jews are not fighters, et cetera, and that they were victims in the Holocaust rather than those who resisted. But it was more of a historical perspective. In the last 2 years, when I wrapped up the book, it's taken on a new meaning for me because it sort of shows that these challenges that we're facing are not gone from the world. I grew up in a generation, I guess a Generation X, you can call, born in 76. And I grew up in the post-73 war era in Israel, in which, you know, Israel wasn't easy here. There's always wars and fighting, but we kind of took its existence for granted. And we also kind of took the existence of a thriving and safe Jewish diaspora for granted. And those assumptions, I think, have been shaken in the last 2 years. And this book, you know, despite saying these things, which seem like they're kind of negative, and I take from this book actually a sense of hope because it reminds me that this never been easy. And Jews have always had to fight for things, and they've had to stand up for themselves, and there have always been blood libels, and there have always been lies, and there have always been slanders, and there's always been physical threat and anti-Semitism. And we can thrive to make the world a better place, but at the same time, we know that if we have to, we can also take our destiny in our hands and protect ourselves.
Wise words. Well, Aaron, it's just been such a pleasure to speak with you today. And I'm so looking forward to your talk at J. Hamilton on the 19th. And I hope listeners will, after today, after listening to this wonderful episode, will be motivated to come and hear more stories. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to meeting you and the rest of the people in Hamilton.
The Spiel on Hamilton podcast is made possible through the generosity of the Allen and Millie Gould Family Foundation. The Spiel on Hamilton is a production of the Hamilton Jewish News, hosted and produced by me, Wendy Schneider, and edited by Colin Van Hattem. If you have any comments, questions, or stories you would like to hear on the show, please email wschneider@jewishhamilton.org. We would love to hear from you. Make sure to subscribe to The Spiel on Hamilton on your favorite podcast platform to learn more about our wonderful community.